Good morning, Inspire community. Good to be together this morning on this Labor Day weekend. I lied. It's about 7 degrees hotter than what I had predicted last week, but the weatherman doesn't get it always right either. We're glad to be together. I tell you, there's so many things that you do that you don't know that inspires me. And one of those things happened this week was I received in the mail from Dr. Gerald Starkey a nice package. He's 92 years young, part of our church, and was a doctor out in Russell, Kansas for years before he retired here. And in the mail this week, I received his book that he wrote. And the book is This Is My Story. I did not tell Pastor Dustin today about that book, but I found it so cool that this morning, the second song that we sing is This Is My Story, This Is My Song. I'm looking forward to reading his book because his life has been an inspiration to many, and I'm looking forward to reading that. I'm also just inspired by things that go on in our world. Not just because the Wildcats won or the Jayhawks won or the Blue Dragons won or your team won. I'm excited for a team I never root for because I would be excommunicated from Heather's family if I ever root for this team, Ohio State Buckeyes. But did anybody see the baptisms and the services taking place this week, this last week on their campus from their players? We celebrate what God does in the lives of even our enemies. So we're thankful, Lord, for what you're doing, God, in our world. And I know there was other universities. I believe that God is doing some great things, and we just need to be paying attention to what he's doing. And God, help us. Let us be a part of the things you're doing. I'm also inspired because of last week, your responses to the message. One, many of you accepted the 90-day giving challenge, 22 of you for the very first time, trusting God for the next 90 days. And I just want to encourage you. Your pastors have been praying for you. Heather and I have been praying for you every day because we know that's a big step. Gary, who gave me permission to do this in our first service, he's the foreman at did a lot of our remodel and our projects here, the foreman of that. He said back in the day, he goes, I used to have a lot of trips to the same day pay loan to get a same day loan, which are high interest rates. And he said, but I begin to trust God and I begin to put him first, and I've never been back to that place since. So he just wanted me to share that God does work, and he worked in his life. And then another couple in our church in their empty nester day said, hey, you know what? God's been blessing us, and we are in that season that it's much easier for us. We maybe feel like God is calling us to be more sacrificial in our giving. So I just love it when God is working, and when you actually, I'm so blessed that you come and you listen and you want to hear what God has to say about things and respond to that. We're diving into a longer series. Usually our series are about 6 to 8 weeks long at most. This is a 10-week series because we believe in the power of in a community that God created us for. And I know we're going to be talking about the church and talking about engaging with the people of God and the church that God has created. And I know there's some weird things. I feel like I maybe had an advantage over some of you in this way too. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. I spent most of my time raised in the church, and I've seen some strange things, some different things. Pastor Nate invited you, if you're new here today, he invited you to go to our Blue Balloons. If you came to our church when I was growing up, you would have been treated much differently. When you came through the doors as a brand new person, we would have ushered you to the guest register. We'd have had you sign your name. We'd have had you put your address down. And then sometime during the service, without your permission, with your white sticker on your lapel, we would have had you stand and introduce you to everybody for the first time as our first time guest, so everyone could stare and gawk at you. I mean, imagine being a guest in those days. They were fun days. And if you somehow made it past that embarrassment and you found yourself at church on a Sunday night like I grew up in, there was times that we did some different things. And we sang a song that from 1970, Bill and Gloria Gaither, we'd sing this sometimes. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I see some of you mouthing those words. I'm not going to re-sing the whole thing to you. But it finishes with, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. The family of God. And it's, anyway, I'm going to mess it up. But what I want to point out to you is this, is we didn't just sing that song like we stand and look forward like we did this morning. They would have us go around greeting each other while we were singing that song. So we were singing the song and greeting one another, and it felt like the Von Trapp family or the Sound of Music. I mean, it felt a little awkward, a little different, but I didn't know any different. I was just a kid that grew up with that. I now look back on that and go, man, for a guest, that would have been a little bit creepy. Been a little bit different on that day. We don't do that anymore, but there's been some different things. But I love the church. The church introduced me to Jesus. The church helped raise me. The church helped me meet my wife. The church helped raise our girls. The church helped give us friends throughout this country and in some other countries around the world. The church has given us a family when we've had no family live close to us. I am grateful for the church. And I know at this point, someone might be thinking, you know, that's great for you, Kent. I'm glad you've had these experiences, but my experience in church has not been so rosy. Morales, in his testimony, alluded to it, church hurt. And some of you have been hurt by the church. I want you to know, if you are around the church for any length of period, eventually you're going to be let down, disappointed, hurt, feeling doubting. Because the church is made up of people. They're made up of me. They're made up of us. They're made up of you. And the church sometimes let us down. I just don't want you to think, oh, you don't know what we're going through. I'm telling you, one of my greatest hurts has been church hurt. When my best friend, who was a professor, was a Christian, who is also a pastor, that betrayed me. It was incredible hurt. I know what it is to experience church hurt, but here's what I'm here to say quickly to you. Don't give up. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I will tell you that same church helped bring healing into my life and into our family's life. You've been part of that healing. So we're going to dive into this family of God. This is the message of today. We're kind of diving into a series, and I just want to encourage you, stay with us. Don't give up on us. We're going to dive into this, what this community is and what this community is about. I just want you to know it's in our blood. It's in our DNA. God wired us for community. God wired us for the family of God. In the very beginning, at the very start, in Genesis chapter 1, God blessed Adam and Eve and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." God, being in very nature love, because God is love, needed to express his love, needed to share his love. And so God wanted a family, much like many of us wanted to have children and wanted to have a family to express our love to. God wanted to express his love, and he wanted to have a family. So he created Adam and Eve, and he told them, be fruitful and multiply. I want you to build a community. I want you to build a community for me, a community that I can love. And it was going well until chapter 3. And chapter 3 is when Adam and Eve, they brought sin into this world, and they brought, with that sin, brought a curse upon us. Instead of the blessing and be fruitful and multiply and the blessing of God, we received the curse of our sin. And the greatest curse of our sin is this: it's broken relationships. The greatest curse of our sin is broken relationship. Broken relationship with God, broken relationship with one another. Many of us have experienced in different ways, maybe abandoned, maybe divorced, church hurt. The reason it hurts so much is because God created us for community. And when that community got broken down, it hurts. But the good news is God had a plan to restore his community, to build up his community again. And it culminated in Jesus. Jesus came to rebuild this community, to reestablish community, to redefine this community. And so today we're going to look at what this community is about. And for the next 10 weeks, we're going to kind of divide it into thirds. For the first 3 to 4 weeks, we're going to define the community of God and God's family. The next 3 weeks after that, we're going to explore what that family looks like, the benefits of it, the responsibilities of it, the blessings of it. And then we're going to, the last 3 weeks, we're going to spend time practicing community and getting an opportunity to test drive. We didn't want to scare you away on the first day, so give us some time as we kind of build our way into this. But today we're going to look how Jesus defined community. And there's multiple places that Jesus began to define and express what the community of God, what his family would look like. One of those times he said to one of his disciples, said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now, do you ever look at things and just think a little bit longer and say, "Man, that doesn't sound very nice"? I mean, imagine Jesus as your pastor in this moment. He's like, "Don't worry, you just lost, you know, the greatest love of your life, a biggest hurt that you've ever had, and you just let them go bury their own dead." I mean, imagine if I did that. One of the blessings of being a pastor is child dedications, getting to come alongside families, baptisms. I love that. Get to do a ceremony, a marriage ceremony here in a few weeks. I love being a part of that and being that part of that celebration. I'm honored as well to come alongside families when they've lost their loved one, when they've lost those who are closest to us. Can you imagine if I said to you, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You come and come to church and follow us"? How long would I be your pastor? Not very long, right? But as I kind of dove into this, because this bothered me, every commentary I read on this was the father wasn't actually dead. He wasn't dead. It was a son wanting to take responsibility for his family and said, "Hey, first, let me tend to my family, and when my dad eventually dies, then I will come and follow you." This isn't an anti-family. In fact, a lot of bad theology and a lot of bad doctrine has been built over one verse theology. You share one verse and you define your whole theology and your whole doctrine around that one verse. That's a bad way to build theology and doctrine. We have to look at the totality of Scripture, and we know God is pro-family. We know God loves family. He's the one that instituted family. He's the one that brought family together. So we know that God is for the family. What God wants here and what he's saying is, "I want to be first." We've talked about that the last few weeks in the way of our money. But it's not just our money. God wants to be first in every area of our life. He wants to be at the top. He wants to be first. "Follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead" is about redefining about God being first. And while Jesus was talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mothers and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." And this gave Jesus another opportunity to define what his family would be and what it would look like. And it was kind of a conversation like this.
Jacking off first.
Coach Boone is redefining what the family is going to be. And he's establishing what the hierarchy and who's going to be most important. And to be a part of his team, he was going to be the daddy. He was going to be the one in charge. He was going to be the one calling the shots. And the brothers, his family, were on that bus. Now, he wasn't discounting the family and his mom and his dad. He wasn't pushing them aside. He was setting a priority. God sets the same priority with us, that our Heavenly Father is first and foremost. And if we're going to be on his team, he gets to be first. And he demands to be first. And our brothers and our sisters are the ones on the bus. This is the new family of God. This is the people of God that God was establishing with his disciples. Yes, you have families, but I want you to tell me who your real family is. It's going to be the family of God. It's going to be the people of God. And so he replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" He wasn't disowning his mom. He wasn't disowning his brothers, his family. He was simply pointing to his disciples. He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jesus is redefining what this family of God was going to be, who this family was going to be. Peter later at another time spoke up and said, "You know, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. We've left everything. We've done everything that you've asked." And Jesus responds, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age." God never leaves us with less. He blesses us with more. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel and money and those things. I'm talking about the family of God. He said, "I'm going to give you 100 times as much as this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mother, children, and fields, along with persecutions," we'll come back to that, "in the age to come, eternal life." And I've been thinking about this family of God and this blessing of God and the song that we sang, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. And I thought, what is this? How does this look like for me in my life? And I thought about times when I stepped into Haiti or Africa and I met for the first time people that had never met me and I had never met them, but they welcomed me into their home as a brother in the Lord because I was a follower of Jesus Christ and they were a follower of Jesus Christ, and it's like we'd always been family. And they gave us the best of what they had to offer. I remember we just landed in Haiti, and we just got to know our brothers and sisters there when the goat that I'd been watching kind of run around the place all day, that was dinner that night. I'm not much of a goat guy. I was preferred chicken or steak or something, but we didn't want to offend, so I ate goat that night. They were offering the best. They were giving us like we were their own blood and family. I'm so thankful for brothers and sisters in the family of God from coast to coast. I have friends that are on the East Coast in Florida and California and Michigan and Texas and even other parts of the world that is part of the family of God. The moment we identify as a follower of Jesus, we're like brothers, we're sisters. And I have mothers and moms and others in the Lord from coast to coast and from other places. And then it says in the age to come, which I just want to remind us, church, what our inheritance is. That there's coming a day when one day God's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more mourning, no sadness. But He's building a family. He's reestablishing his family for a grand reunion that we're going to get to be a part of as followers of Jesus Christ. We're going to be a part of this big family forever. And there was this part that I was like, why'd you have to put that in there, Jesus? Along with the persecutions. There is a price. And some of us pay more than others. We have brothers and sisters in this world around the country that are paying a much higher price for their following Jesus than what we do. But there's yet still a price that sometimes we pray, and sometimes it's the loss of friends who don't understand our faith in Christ. Sometimes it's the loss of family even. I think of my friend Brian, who's a pastor of a church about 1,200 in Nampa, Idaho, and has a wonderful ministry, but his dad is an atheist. And his dad is ashamed to introduce him as pastor. Fortunately, he has a second job on the side. He's a professor at Northwest Nazarene University. He teaches a few classes. So he said, my dad always introduces me as his professor, his son that's a professor. There's been a price to pay, and they love each other. His son, Brian loves his dad, and his dad loves his son, but there's been a price to pay. Even in the story of the Morales baptism today, you saw that his life group was there, the Espinosas, and, well, you didn't see them. They were the ones cheering in the background, and you joined the cheering with them. But the Espinosas were there. The Blanks were there. Their life group was there, and we got to be there, and the Briners got to be there. Their church family got to be there. In the same way, Brian Morales is their parents. They love one another. They love their mom and dad, and their mom and dad love them. But there's a little bit differences in their faith journey right now. So they weren't able to be there. But their family, their church family was. God's going to give us 100 times over family, brothers and sisters and mothers. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Again, another bad place to build a one-verse theology. Because we know that God doesn't call us to hate. And we know that God loves family, wants us to build a family that honors and pleases him. At the end of the day, what he's saying is, in comparison to me, it's like hatred. I don't want you to hate them, but in comparison to me, I want to be first. We have a jealous God, and not a wrong jealousy, but a jealousy like a husband and a wife, that it's every right that I would have to be jealous of my wife, to be jealous of Heather if she's interested in someone else. It's okay. That's, God is jealous for us. He desires us and wants us to put him first. Even on the cross, Jesus defined family and what his new family would be. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, which is John, the writer of the fourth gospel, standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." John was not the biological son. And to the disciple, to John, he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. At the point of his death on that Friday night, he took into her home, took Jesus' mom into her home as if it was his. Because the family of God is what Jesus is establishing and defining. He's rebuilding and remaking and redefining his family and his church. Because we belong to Christ, we belong to his family. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the moment you become a follower of Jesus Christ, instantly you have millions of brothers and sisters around this world, if not billions. Brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. And the early church, 50 days later after the resurrection, they took this so seriously that the early church, they didn't just say, hey, we're family. They didn't just sing about being the family of God and shake a few hands and go home. They lived it. They went all in on this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone as they had need. Family takes time, right? Family takes sacrifice. Family takes commitment. There's a cost to family. There's time. There's effort. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. It was an ongoing thing. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There is a time. There is a cost. There is a sacrifice involved in family. And the early church, they didn't just read it on some pages. They actually digested what Jesus was setting up, and they were establishing the new family of God. In my study this week, I came across Lady Megan Hill, and I thought I could try to paraphrase it, but I just want to give you her words directly. Megan says, life in God's family, it will reorient your allegiance, not just on Sunday, but every hour of every day. The church is not a man-made society that we can participate in or opt in and out of according to our own level of comfort. The PTA, the Neighborhood Association, or the Library Booster Club don't obligate us to personal sacrifice when things get tough. Family does. And because God's people are our family, we will hold our own preferences and our priorities loosely. We will open our hearts and our doors. We will pull up another chair at the dinner table and add another name to our prayer list. We will give them our groceries and furniture and smiles. We will share in their grief and trials and disappointments. We will look for ways to show love. And as a result, we will expect to have less money and less free time than we would have on our own. We will expect to have added sorrow. And I love this. We will also expect to have added joy. I look across this room, and I can't believe for a minute that if I would ask you to raise your hands, if anybody just has time to spare. I would guess that everybody in this room is busy. My 84-year-old retired dad says, I don't know how I stay so busy. I don't care what stage of life you're in. You're not here because you needed one more thing to do today. You're not here because you have nothing on your calendar and you have nothing that couldn't be done that didn't get done earlier in this week. And you just have margin. You are here because you've made a commitment that you want to commit yourself to God. You want to be a part of His family and part of the family of God. It's something that you choose to do. It's something you commit to. It's something that costs you at times. And sometimes the cost is great. And sometimes there's sacrifices are greater. But so is the joy. Yes, we have added sorrow, but we also expect to have added joy. And the church is where we grow. We grow our relationship with God. God created us for a relationship vertically and horizontally. He created us for one another. And there are no Lone Ranger followers of Jesus. Just like an orphan may grow physically, but they'll be stunted in their development intellectually, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, because we are made for family. And we just in our own families, we grow better in a loving household and family. In the same way, we grow better in the family of God, sharing in the sorrows and sharing in these joys. And I'm just so glad. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. And it's more than a corny song that was written in 1970 to me. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. Can I tell you the first people that took me to a Broncos Chiefs game in 1984, coldest game I think I ever went to in my life. I think my dad was trying to teach me a lesson, but he caved in to three guys in their late 20s and early 30s with young families that said, we'd love to take your son to his first NFL game. It was the church that took me to my first NFL football game in Arrowhead. It was the church who became grandpas and grandmas to me. I lost my grandpa, both my grandpas, before the age of 12. But I never lacked for grandpas in the church. In Greeley, Colorado, from age 4 to age 12, Vic Kinsfodder, who shared the same birthday as me, April 27th, he would, with my parents' permission, show up at my house on my birthday, take me out for the largest Dairy Queen hot fudge sundae, go buy me a baseball bat or a baseball glove or a football. I had grandfathers in my life. And in my teenage years, Bob Rumsey, the retired firefighter in Topeka, would take a bunch of us high schooler boys and would take us multiple times throughout the summer out to the lake and eat fried chicken and ski all day long from morning until we couldn't ski any longer. Then he would come back, drop us off. He would clean the boat, and we'd go home because we were exhausted. I had grandfathers. I had people in my family. When we've lived at times in our ministry where we had no family around, but God's been family to us. I think even here in the church, Sawana Shipley, in the last 6 years, sending letters to my daughters in college and sending letters to them in Florida, encouraging them, strengthening them. I think of their churches that are far away from us, but I'm so thankful for K1 Church in Kankakee, Illinois, and for the Chapel Church in Tarpon Springs, Florida. I'm thankful for the Church of God and the people of God that becomes my girls' family when we're so far away from them. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And then there's times that we have different skills and abilities, and I am not a handyman. I got some duct tape going on in multiple places in my house. That's just how I fix stuff. But when my neighbor around the corner, a single lady fighting stage 4 cancer who just lost her mom in the last couple years, when she's asking for help putting in her washer and dryer, and that washer was in a weird place, and so it had taken me 10 hours. I said, Heather's like, "Can't you got to do something?" I was like, "I want to do something, but I don't know how to do it. It sounds simple to a lot of you guys. It's not simple to me." She says, "Call Ben Hughes. I just talked to him today at church. He said he wants to serve more. He wants to help more." And she said, "Give him a ring. So be careful what you tell the pastor's wife on Sunday." Because he got a call Sunday night saying, "Hey, can you meet me to help hook up my neighbor's washer?" And 2 nights later, we were there. And what a blessing it was. I just cheered him on, said, "Good job." I gave him a screw or a hammer, whatever he needed. Not a hammer. Did I do a hammer? I don't think it was a hammer. He was very delicate in the way that he did. Hammer for me and duct tape, but it was better for him. Anyway, just to see her and her friend and those ladies just cry because they felt the love of the church. Our example in how we love one another. That's for another story and for another day. I'm thankful for when my dad had double bypass 5 years ago, and it was in Springfield before we could get there. One of my former college teammates who was pastoring over in Springfield just saw it on Facebook. I didn't ask him. My family didn't ask him. He just shows up at the hospital. I'm so grateful for the family of God. And then a few months ago when Heather's mother passed, it was 3 hours away, the worst time you can do a funeral during the week, on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. I didn't expect to see anybody from church there. But when we walked into the service, and I saw Gene, and I saw Kevin, and I saw Jody, and I saw T, all the rest of the pastors were on a mission trip, or they would have been there, but Pastor Brandon there. When I saw Lyle and Donna the night before at the visitation, and Scott, I'm so thankful for the family of God. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. It means something to us. It's not just something that we talk about. It's who we are. And we're meant to receive this blessing. We're also meant to be the blessing. God has created us for the family. And family takes time. It takes effort. And so the next few weeks, we're going to dive into this slowly. And so it's going to be very safe to come back the next few weeks. Then there might be a little challenge farther in to dive into community. And trust me, we're going to make it as easy as possible. But there's time, there's effort, there's sacrifice. And you don't do life group, or you don't engage in an interest group or Bible study because you have more time. You enter into those things so you can grow in the family of God. I'm so glad to be a part of it. And I know I've heard a pastor say this. He says, you've heard this before. I just don't have time. I hear people say that. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, and they are absolutely right. Salvation is through faith alone and Christ alone. But you don't have to go home to be married, but stay away long enough and your relationship will be affected. And it's so true, friends. We were created for each other. And it's not just a trite little saying. We are better together. We need one another. I need you, you need me. We need one another. So the challenge in these next few weeks is going to be to engage in community. I love this every time this comes up, because someone's going to come up, and I'm going to head you off right now if you're new, and you're going to say, "Hey, someone needs to learn to spell around here." All the pastors at District Assembly were coming up saying, "Hey, someone on your team needs to learn how to spell." This is on purpose. This is actually a word in the dictionary, and it means a deeper level of engagement. We don't want it just to be words on a page, but we want to, one of our prayers is that God will help us to engage in his family, in the church in which he died for. And so for the next 7 weeks, for the next 10 weeks, for the next 70 days, and then later on, for a 7-week period, we want you to prayerfully consider engaging and going on a test drive with a life group. You can do anything for 7 weeks. Some of these are going to be interest groups. Pastor Nate's putting together an interest called a run, walk, ruck club, a ruck group. He can explain it to you. Pickleball group, handyman group. some things that we can do together because God's people are better together, but then also Bible studies and life groups. And so anyway, that's not for today. I just want to tell you a little bit where we're going. For the next 3 weeks, my challenge is this: get to know and bless the family of God. Just get to know and bless the family of God because we were made for one another. One of our best blessings in the last couple weeks was a young couple that sits over here. They're not here this week, but they've been here the last 3 or 5 weeks. They just got married the 1st of August. They'd been here 7 days, moved here from Illinois, looking for a church, brought by Coach Josh from Central Christian College soccer team. You could tell they're newlyweds because they just worship differently than the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, their shoulders are on each other. Their arms around one another. One hand's out here praising God. The other one's in here like this. I mean, most of us, we're just past that, right? Maybe we shouldn't be, but we are. Man, this is a fantastic young couple. New place, new community. First Sunday here, they show up. Their first Sunday here in this community, they show up. She's 23. He's a few years older. Just a great couple. Got the opportunity to have lunch with them. One of the best blessings this last week for Heather was Monday night when she got a call from Julia. And Julia said, you know, I'm a long ways from my mom. Just started this new job. My friend back home is going through something that I can't be there to help her with. I just need a mom. Can we go for a walk? Heather was so relieved that she didn't say, I just need a grandma. Just need a mom. Can we go for a walk? Just something simple. I'm not talking money even. How can we be a blessing to one another? Maybe if you could just ask the question, how can I bless someone in our church? How can I get to know someone in our church? How can I go to someone? No one ever turns you down on this. If you could just even go to someone you don't know in the church and you just say, maybe new, or maybe they've been here a long time, but you don't know them. And you just say, hey, I'm John. What's your name? You introduce yourself. Is there anything I can be praying for you about this week? No one turns you down, I promise. No one turns you down. And it's just an open door for them to share life with you and say, yeah, you know what? I could use some prayers. I'm doubting God right now. Or I'm struggling in my faith. Or my kid's going to college. Or, you know, I have this test this week. You just never know what that is. But how could we think of ways that we could say, just how can I get to know and bless the family of God? The people that you see across and around here. How for the next 2 or 3 weeks might you be able to be a blessing? And in the same time, I guarantee you, you will be blessed. What if we kind of started practicing that as a community before we dove into the life groups and those other things? We said, how can we bless the family of God? Because the way that we bless the family of God is the way that we're also known by our love to our community and everyone else. And it builds community. So those two ladies that Ben Yu shows up their house that he doesn't know, it built community. She said, I may get in there. I may come. I may come one of these days, but I'm afraid lightning's going to strike. You've heard that, heard so many times. I can't go in the building because lightning's going to strike. Lightning's going to strike on all of us if it's based on our performance. But aren't you thankful for a God that loves us, that built a family, that wants us to grow in that and grow in love? Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your goodness and your grace. Lord, thank you that your shoulders are big enough this morning for the biggest doubt in this room, the greatest doubts and reservations that someone might have. Lord, your shoulders are so big, and you can handle that. I'm so thankful, God, that no matter our sin, no matter how great a regret, no matter how big the mess up, I'm thankful that you have a provision for that in your death on a cross, paying our price, reconciling us back into your family, treating us as brothers and sisters and not as criminals and crooks and as our sins deserve, but giving us a place in your family. Thank you, Lord, no matter where we are in our journey today, whether we've been walking with you for a long time or whether we have not walked with you, Lord, you're ready to help us to take that next step. With your head bowed and your eyes closed this morning, this family of God, that God sent his son so that you could be a part of it, so you could be welcomed into this family by receiving him. but you haven't done that. God's inviting you into his family today, receiving his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Lord. If that's you today, would you just bravely raise your hand? No one's looking around. Would you just bravely raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're just going to pray a simple prayer. And would you just pray this, everyone together, so these that raise their hand don't pray this out loud. Scripture says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that you'll be a child of God, that you'll be saved. That's what we're doing now. So would you all repeat after me so we can do this together? Lord Jesus, thank you for the family of God. Thank you that you've made a place for me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Help me follow you. I want to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we welcome those into the family of God this morning?